Well, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, we do thank and praise you for this table spread for us this afternoon, this table spread for sinners, and yet those who have been saved by your matchless grace. How we thank you for all the burdens that bowed your head. How we thank you for all our sins that were heaped upon you, and your willingness to be that Lamb of God, taking away the sin of the world. We thank you for your great love to us, that extravagant love, that love beyond compare. And how we thank you again for that remembrance of all that was transacted there at Calvary, that we, the sinful sons and daughters of men, might become the sons and daughters of the living God. We praise you for the richness and the greatness of our salvation. And we thank you that it was all there, Lord, pictured there at Calvary, and now, Lord, prefigured, Lord, in this bread and wine. We pray that you would open our eyes this afternoon, that we might see the wonders of your love towards us. Lord, how awful is sin, and yet how great is your redeeming love. And we pray that our hearts may be melted this afternoon, and we pray that our love for you might grow and increase. Lord, as we are reminded again of that overwhelming grace. Lord, come to us, we pray, pardon our many sins, and help us to partake worthily this afternoon, and help us, Lord God, to seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And we do pray, Lord, that you would indeed draw near to each one of us, and may we feast by faith upon you, the living God, the one who was made flesh, and the one whose flesh was broken at Calvary, that we might live. For we ask this in your precious name. Amen. Amen. I'd just like to read some verses from Paul's letter to the Romans and the 6th chapter. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Well, do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death. For just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. For the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. As we prepare our hearts for the Lord's table, we need to raise an important question. And the question is simply this: how should we respond to God's love for us? What should our response be to all that God has done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ? And of course, the Bible gives us a number of different answers to that question. And I'm sure that there are some that are coming to you off the top of your heads already. But I think that there is one response that is so often overlooked by Christian people today, and it is absolutely crucial to our Christian experience. And the Apostle touches upon it here in Romans 6 and verse 11. He says, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are to consider ourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. What is Paul saying in that tremendous statement? Well, what he is revealing to us here basically is this. He is revealing to us the pervasive influence and power of the cross. He tells us that the cross has not only secured our forgiveness of sin, but it has also secured for us deliverance from the dominion and the reigning power of sin in our lives. We've died to sin, and now we're alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Such is the power of the cross. You remember how Paul begins this magnificent chapter with a question. And he answers his question. He says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You see, in the previous chapter, Paul has concluded that where sin abounded, grace superabounded. He tells us that the grace of God has triumphed over human sin and depravity. And therefore the question naturally, logically arises, well, shall we not continue to live a life of sin so that God's grace may abound in our lives more and more? And Paul immediately says, God forbid, perish the thought, because how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? You see, what Paul is doing in this chapter is to draw our attention to that amazing truth of our union with Christ. Our union with Christ. You see, the amazing thing is that when Jesus died upon that cross, he died not only as our substitute, taking our place, but he also died as our representative. He was there representing you and me. And therefore what happened to Christ at Calvary has happened to you and me, because we were there in him. When Christ died, says Paul, we died in him. When he was buried, we were buried with him. And when he rose again, we rose again to newness of life in him. We're united in his death, burial, and resurrection. What a tremendous, a stupendous truth that is. And Paul tells us that it's all illustrated in our baptism. He says, well, we were baptized. What happened? Well, he says, when we went down under the water, it was a picture of the old person we used to be, dying with Christ, crucified with him. When we went under the water, it was a picture of our being buried with Christ. It was the funeral service of the old person. And when we came up out of the water, it is a picture of us rising again as brand new men and women to live a new life in resurrection fullness. Union with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. You see, says Paul, we begin the Christian life from the standpoint of victory. We're no longer helpless victims where sin is concerned. We're on the victory side. And we are to reckon ourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul is not saying that it is now impossible for the Christian to commit sin. But what he is saying is that it is possible for the Christian not to sin. Sin shall no longer, he says, have the dominion over you. The thraldom of sin, the power of sin, has been broken in our lives through the power of the cross. And we have been set free to live in newness of life. And we are to reckon that and consider it day by day. It's one of the most practical things in life. What it means, essentially, is that when you get up tomorrow morning, Satan will be there to attack you and tempt you and to get you to fall into sin and to revert to your old behaviour patterns before your conversion. And when he comes and he plants all sorts of thoughts and insinuates certain things to you and tries to trip you up and catch you out, and when sin confronts you with all its power and with all its strength, and it seeks to entangle you and to beset you and to push you around and to bully you and to dictate to you, we are to say, no! I'm not going to listen to you any longer. I've got nothing to do with you. You are no longer my cruel, tyrannical master. I have died with Christ. I am crucified with him. The relationship has been severed. It's been broken. I'm no longer a slave of sin, but I'm a servant of a new master, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to now yield my life to him in full obedience. That is reckoning ourselves dead to sin, for the life to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We often see Christians going around today with these wristbands, these rubber bands, Daniel's got one on there, and other people, and they've got little slogans on, sometimes biblical texts. But what a blessing it will be if we were to carry one on the left wrist which said, likewise, reckon yourselves to be dead to sin, and on the right hand, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a transformation it would make in our Christian experience. This is something that we so easily forget. We sometimes think that we're just victims and that there is nothing that we can do, and so we live our lives in the shadows and in the miseries rather than on that victory side, reckoning our position in Christ, dead to sin and alive to God. And friends, what could be a better way to come away from the table this afternoon and to live in the light of Calvary? What better response than to reckon ourselves daily dead to sin and to live in resurrection power? Stuart Laurier sums it up well. He says, when thankfulness for Calvary disappears from our private prayers, when the cross ceases to be central in the preaching we hear, when remembrance of it at the Lord's table comes to be regarded as an optional extra, when Calvary and its wonders fade even a little from our vision, then will be the time that holiness of living will no longer characterize us. God forbid, he says, that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. And I think Paul sums it up even better and more succinctly in that wonderful confession he makes to the Galatians in chapter 2, verse 20. He says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's say the grace, shall we?
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God.